Once he's above what he has to pay the other guy. I can tell you, listen, a matter of credit is a matter of what? Wisdom. Sometimes when people don't manage well, the second largest electronic distributor in America was Circuit City. They are currently bankrupt. How much? They said they've closed now, of course. Auctioned everything up. You said they were owing HP how much? Maybe like $300 and something million. Computers that all of us bought, they did not give the money to the owner. We paid though. You see, this I'm telling you, when you hear people get bankrupt, go and check the real truth. It's indiscipline and lack of righteousness. One of the most wicked things you can do is that you and person contribute money. You do business. Suddenly you realize you have needs he doesn't have. All of you contributed 10,000 naira. Now you have made 2,000. He brought 5K. You brought 5K. You agreed that because you did most of the work, sharing will be maybe 60-40. Out of the 2,000 naira, give him his own 40%. He says, sorry, you know, my landlord just showed up yesterday. Listen to me. I know you should pay your landlord, but I didn't say you should go and steal. Because that is what? Stealing. Look, let me tell you, spiritual economic empowerment. Look, all these business principles they do, they tell you how to invest money, receive this. One thing they don't tell you is how to tell the truth. Because the moral lectures is not part of the planning strategies. Let me tell you the truth. I'm talking on a spiritual angle. I'm explaining some spiritual principles why you will do well in life. Are you getting my point? Don't take somebody else's money. Stealing is a curse. It invokes a curse into your life. The Bible says the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. When they say thief, all you think is, as they walk out for night, the guy will just do it like this. Yeah, your phone. Then you drop him. You say, that one is a thief. The curse of the Lord is in his house. You wait first now. Wait. Last week, that 2K profit where two of you now contribute money make. 60% is your own. Why have you not sent the other person his own? Listen, let me tell you something. Spiritual, look, anything you do, go and read my tract. It is God and I. Anything you are doing, you are dealing with God. When you are cheating your business partner, you are cheating the Lord. Are you getting my point? You are cheating who? You are cheating the Lord. Just realize it. You can't say you had problems. That money is not your own. It is just as right for you to go have gone to steal from somebody and say you have problem. Let me settle my problems first. Integrity and honesty. Please stop carrying somebody else's money. Stealing is a terrible thing. This is credit matter. That's what matters. It's not whether as a Christian, I can borrow. That's not the point. If you know you can't pay, don't say you will pay. If you want to take a loan from somebody, it must have terms. You know the terms? Is it a 6-week loan? Or a 2-month loan? And please, pay at the time you said you would. Somebody, one of my friends called me yesterday and we're discussing this matter. He said that because of some business he was doing, he took money from somebody, like an investment. Okay, give me this money. I'll give you a certain percentage at the end of the year. He does business. He said, normally he makes sure everything is written down in black and white, contract. But this person said, look, don't worry. Are you not? I know you now. You're a Christian. And gave him ₦1 million on trust. I know you. You can't cheat me. You're a good man. A few weeks before the money was due to be paid, he had the money. I mean, that's the kind of person he is. He had gathered the money and he was ready to pay. Except that a friend of his showed up and said that he needed to pay something. That was owing a bank. Okay, just 5 days, 6 days, or 1 week, something like that. And he felt that, this is my friend. I know him very well. He gave the guy the money, a bulk of it, maybe like ₦1 million or so. 1 week passed, the guy did not pay. 2 weeks passed, the guy did not pay. Months passed, cut the long story short, the time he was supposed to pay the other guy his money reached. And he now did not have money to pay. Hey! You know, he said what used to pain him most is not the money he's owing. Is that the guy said, I know you now, you're a Christian. You can't cheat anybody. So to him, this is Christianity under attack. Of course, and this is what you do. There's one scripture I want you to read. Let's quickly read it. It will help every one of us. From verse 6, Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 1. He said, my son, if you have become shorty for your neighbor and have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been ensnared with the words of your mouth and have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and do what? Read loud now. He said, do this then, my son, and do what? Deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go. Do what? Humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Do not give sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. There's a principle I want to bring out from there. Tell your neighbor, please. Somebody, turn to somebody, say, when things don't work, that's not when. That's the principle I want to teach you. This was what my friend operated. When things don't work, oh boy, there's no bold face in this. Oh. You go to your neighbor and go and do what? You, how did the Bible say it again? Humble yourself and importune your neighbor. You know what it means? Beg. Talk. You use mouth to hook yourself before. What do? You use your mouth to deliver yourself. This is what it means. You go and do what? You go and beg. I'll say something again today on accepting your responsibility. Please, turn to your friend beside you. Say the person. Touch the person. No. Accept your responsibility. Now, these two deals, this is my friends I'll tell you about. He did not take, what do you call it, permission to lend his money, his friend's money to another person, did he? So it's not that guy's problem. So you know what he did? He went to the guy. Now, if he had money, I know him, and that's the righteous thing to do, he would have just paid the guy and settled his problems by himself. But because he didn't have, he went to that guy and knelt down and begged. I don't know whether I literally knelt down. He begged the fellow, say, please, your money is ready, boss. This happened. But I'm not, and this is another thing. Some people will now tell you that when he pays me, I will pay you. That is evil. Take it from me, it is wickedness. You are transferring your responsibility onto somebody else's head, and you are doing it, telling him the stories, hoping to put him under emotional tension. So that since he understands your predicament, he can't ask for his money. He just said, guy, simply, please, just give me time. Please, turn to the fellow again. Say, give me time. I'll tell you something. Give me time. Because this is another evil that people practice, very common in our society. People think that begging is equivalent to receiving a cancellation of debt. No, it is not. Listen, you have no right to expect somebody to forgive you a debt because you said sorry. You know, in Nigeria, they jam your car. Oh, God, sorry. I say, no problem with sorry. But what's going to happen to the car? You have damaged. One day, my wife jammed somebody's car. Me and the guy were talking on the phone. He was talking. I said, my friend, relax. Don't talk to me rashly. I'm not begging you. I have money to pay you. Let's discuss the amount I'm paying. What nonsense are you doing? You're talking to me as if we went to war and you defeated me. No, I told him, you are talking to me as if I'm a conquered person. You didn't conquer me, my friend. Get the point clear. My wife accidentally jammed your wife's car. I'm not arguing on who's responsible. Now we are discussing money matters. You're asking for 100,000 and I'm not going to give 100,000 because I don't think that damage is worth 100,000. And friend, no, I told him simply, do I look like a begging person? Please now, don't be angry. And I said, wait. It was an accident. My own car is dead also. My car is also damaged. I wasn't talking to the guy rudely initially, but the way he was going on, I had to tell him, boy, listen, get this point very clear. This is no matter of begging. It's an accident. My car is also damaged. And I'm willing to repair your car. I'm not telling you, forgive me. I am saying, let's agree on a reasonable amount. And I pay you. And you're, no, I told the man simply, you want me to be crawling and begging you? No, that's not right. There's a reason why I'm bringing that up. Because what people want is that they want to crawl and beg and say sorry, as if the sorry will suddenly bring out the metal, rearrange the glass that broke, and the car will suddenly begin to shine. I will show you from the scriptures what the Bible says you ask for is what? Time. Let me read it for you. It's in these scriptures. The Bible is wonderful. Matthew chapter 18. I won't read the whole story because you know the story. It was a story about the two servants who were owing their Lord. No, one servant was owing his Lord a lot of money. Quickly, let's read down to verse 26. The servants therefore, let's start from 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. Are you seeing that? And his wife and children and all that he had. And payment be what? Made. This is what I'm going to 26. Therefore, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, do what? Lord, do what? Please say it loud. Lord, do what? What he asked for was patience. Give me time and I will pay you everything. Now, listen to this. The Lord now decided that since this man is ready to accept his responsibility, I am willing to completely forgive him. Are you getting my point? Your begging does not is not equivalent to payment. Your begging does not equate payment. If you are owing somebody, the best you can do, which God expects you to do, is what? Ask for what? Time. You will show the man, I know I'm owing you a millionaire. I lost my job last week. What am I going to do? Please give me time. I will pay you. The man can now decide to write off the debt. You can't ask for that. It's not righteous to ask for it. Payment must be made by somebody. You can't blackmail somebody emotionally and therefore get rid of your own responsibility. And then let me continue my story. He went to the person and begged for time. And what did he do? Every money he got, 10,000 naira, boom. 5,000 naira, boom. He kept on gathering it. He said, then one day, he did something, got some money. What did he do? Pay. Then finally, his company approved one loan he had applied for. And the first thing he did was to settle that guy completely. He said the man was angry with him because he was putting himself under pressure to pay him that. He said, look, relax now, I understand. He said, please, I know you understand, but please, I don't understand. You get my point? Yes. Let me discharge my responsibility. I'm saying this because it's so crucial. As you want somebody else to do to you, do to others also. And listen to this, when you do that with others, God will move upon those who are owing you and they will pay you. Look, if you keep sowing seeds of, I don't have now, I will pay, what am I going to do? Am I going to die? If you sow that seed, it will germinate. Other people are owing you to this. You don't have to one person, 10 people will do it to you. I told you, look, I'm not teaching you how to invest money and to collect it back. I'm giving what? The spiritual undertones. When this big business will teach you, they won't say these things. Because the moral of it, it's not part of what they are teaching. But I'm explaining to you that there are spiritual things that entrench men in success or in poverty. You know, there are people, when you hear someone is a 419 man, that guy, to even be born again, say, go Adam. To go around deliberately. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible. I just say go ahead. If you can come to the point of repentance and ask for forgiveness, God will forgive. To go around deliberately defrauding people is wickedness. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Have you heard that thing before? But the Bible says there are 7 things that the Lord hates. I told you before that when God loves, you know what he does?
He gives.
For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. That God showed his love towards the alien amongst him that he gave. When God loves people, he gives to them. Now, please, answer this. When God hates something or hates somebody, there's a message I'm going to preach shortly on radio. Currently, the title is Seven Habits of Effective Poverty. Did you hear what I said? Seven Habits. Seven Habits. Now, when I say Seven Habits, that is, you see a young man, he's 21. You come back, he's 26, he's still doing it. You come back, he's 28, he's still doing these things I'm going to discuss. Oh God, you can swear that that guy will be poor for life until he repents. I will do it on radio. I might increase it to 8, but currently, it's 7 habits that entrenches a man in poverty. And the reason is because there are things that God hates. You know what I mean to hate something? God hates it. It's in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife amongst brethren. There's another one, unjust wit. That's the one I'm looking for. Yes. It's a false balance. It's an what? Abomination. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. An abomination to the Lord. Now, I brought this issue up because a man who uses a false balance is actually stealing. If you ever run a filling station and you want to prosper in life, make it a goal. Are you getting me? That your 1 liter is 1 liter. 10 liters for you shall not be 9.5 liters if you can help it. For you, 1 liter must be what? 1 liter. Most filling stations, you know why filling stations proliferate? Quick money. They buy, look, you, they dispense for you 10 liters. A good one would probably give you 9.5. That 0.5 liters on 50,000 liters is a lot of money. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. But listen, let people never entice you. Let them never entice you with the amount of money they are making. There was something my friend and I were discussing the other day. I want to say it again. I say Christian business is not about money. He and I disagreed a bit because I think either I didn't get him well or he didn't get me well. But I thought and meditated again. Listen to this. Christian business is not about money. What is it about? It is about demonstrating God's faithfulness. It is about demonstrating the character of God inside you. It's about service. Are you getting what I'm saying? You say, are you supposed to lose money? You know, I never said so. Are you getting my point? I said that you must be a careful accountant. You must balance your books well. If you are doing business and you are losing money, it's a sign from God that you are doing bad business. When I say bad business, I don't mean the business is bad, but you're not doing it well. The scripture, I've already gone into my message for today actually. The time is gone anyway. The scripture that we read at the beginning showed one thing. God expects that a man who he gives money should be able to multiply it. Are you getting my point? Through effective business doing. He said, he didn't say just multiply this money. He said, do business with this money until what? I come. Now listen, I read that scripture to bring out an issue. It was not just the money that the Lord was want, you know, that he was excited about. What was he excited about? The skill demonstrated by those people. And the measure, now listen to this, listen to this. The measure of the skill was how much money they had what? Made. Now listen, it wasn't saying that money is the issue. Let me explain, I want to explain this thing to you. One day I was in a car shop. And so people were selling Nissan Sunny. Oh no, Nissan Bluebird. And Nissan Bluebird used to have something behind it. They write like 280 or 260, something like that, those days. Yeah, okay, yes. The right 2.0. This one was written in Nissan Bluebird 1.6. And the people pricing the cars said that they wanted 1.8. Now listen to this, listen to this. So if people priced that car, I think all the, of them wanted 1.8. And that was a 1.6. And one man there said that, well, why don't you remove this 1.6 and melt metal to join the top of the 6 to the bottom of the 6, you know, that kind of thing, and to convert it to 8. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. And in fact, let's just change this to what? To 1.8. And then we'll sell it. Whether it was a wicked man or not, I don't know. But obviously it was a very stupid man. What am I going to say? The people asking for 1.8, they are not planning to drive the number. 1.8 is the engine capacity of the car they are planning to drive. Do you follow the point I'm going to make? The 1.8 at the back is just a reflection of the engine under the bonnet. Now, are you following the point I'm making this? That is, you see 1.8. It is not to photograph it, glaze it, frame it, and say, look at it. My car, it has 1.8 written on it. No. What is it for? It is supposed to indicate for us what the car can do. But people do all kinds of things. You see a lot of Mercedes-Benz in town, they go and put on it E320. This is a 1985 model Mercedes-Benz, what you call V-boot. And it just has a 1.9 liter engine. And it's supposed to be a 200E, not the regular 200E. The man just was E320. Now, this is the point. It doesn't change the fact that you have only 4 cylinders. It does not change the fact that there are certain speeds you can't do. It doesn't change the fact that there are certain acceleration modes you cannot attain. Now, please, are you getting my point? So when the Lord commended a man that this man has multiplied the money I gave him 10 times, you follow? He wasn't telling the man, in effect, other people in effect, whatever you need to do, I want this money multiplied. There are things that are implicit in the statements of Jesus. He was describing his context of righteousness. Therefore, he was saying, in effect, this man has demonstrated to us how he is able to handle resources. And how do I know that? Because he said, therefore, be in charge of what? 10 cities. Because the money is just what? A demonstration of what the man could handle. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Let me state it again. Christian business is not about money. Money helps you account. If you are doing business, the only way you will know what you have sold and how much profit you are making is if you do good accounting. That is why I quoted before that the Bible says, know the condition of your flock. Know the condition of your flock. You must know what is going on. That's why, oh God, please let me beg you, don't follow the world and their system. Otto Anderson was the world's leading accounting firm. Yet they connived to bankrupt so many companies that they themselves, even though they had money, they had to shut down. Because they forgot that the job of the accountant is not the signature. The job of the accounting firm is to certify for you and I who hold the stocks of a company that things are exactly as they said they are. That's why they have what? Internal auditors who put their books together and submit to the external auditors who verify the claims that they made. Please, do you get what I'm trying to explain? So what happens that the world taught people, do you know, oh God, if you read stories, I've read plenty. I read a book, What Happened at Enron. I've read all kinds of stories. I have seen that people just, you say that this company made $2.5 billion. Most of them, there's no proof. How did they make $2.5 billion? One man just decided that the things we're entering as expenses before, let us start entering it as what? Revenue. Do you know it's as stupid and as silly as that? That was what happened at the WorldCom. Things that they should register as expenses, maybe like, okay, maybe the MD of the company chartered a flight and carried 5 people and they went around the world and the total cost of the trip was $6.5 million before it was expenses. When they were looking at the book, they said, okay, let's make it assets. How is that an asset? It was an investment trip, okay? It will bear fruit later. They shifted $6.5 million and put that asset. And stock price kept on climbing. There was one MD, I don't know which company now, I've forgotten exactly, in which the shareholders hired him, the CEO, that whether he can increase the value of their stock by a factor of 10,